Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. The title of today's message, Christian Separation. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This message on Christian separation is the first in a series of messages on some much neglected aspects of the Christian life. Our text occurs in the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. It is part of a larger passage composed of verses 14 through 18 of 2 Corinthians 6. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This text and the passage in which it occurs commands Christian separation. Matthew Henry says that in this text, to be separate means to keep at a distance, to avoid the society of one, to avoid the society of, as one would avoid the society of those who have leprosy for fear of being infected. In Titus 2:14, Paul uses another word to speak of Christian separation, and that is the word peculiar. This verse, let's turn to that, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. This speaks of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now that doesn't mean weird or strange. Peculiar. Paul says here that Christians are a peculiar people. That is, they are distinct. They are easily distinguished. They are set apart. They are unique. Because we belong to Christ, we are distinct from the men and women of this world. We must live in this world, but we must be distinct from its habits and attitudes and values and religion. We are unique in that we stand true to the faith and refuse to compromise the Word of God. That from which Christians are to separate themselves is the world. Turn to 1 John 2:15 through 17. 1 John, near the end of the Scriptures, chapter 2, and we'll read verses 15, 16, and 17. 1 John 2:15 through and 16, I'm sorry, defines the world and declares what it is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now here's the definition. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In verses 14 through 16 of 2 Corinthians 6, Paul tells God's people that we have nothing in common with the world. Christians have nothing in common with the world. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, separation does not mean, contrary to what so many people practice today, it does not mean having no contact at all with unbelievers. It does not mean withdrawing from the world and living in a monastery or a commune. That's not separation. That's isolation. In John 17, 15, the Lord Jesus prays to the Father concerning His people, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Christian separation means that we are to be distinct from the habits and attitudes that characterize the world. Separation means that our mind, our character, and our lifestyle are separate, distinct, unique, peculiar in relation to this world. Let us look first in this message then at the fact that God's Word requires separation. God has always required His people to be a separate people. He required Israel to be separate. He requires us to be separate today. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 23 and 24 and then verse 26. Because here God told Israel that He had separated them and that they should be holy unto Him. Leviticus 20, 23, and 24. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now look at verse 26 in that same chapter. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Now turn to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 22. And we'll look at verses 9 through 11 here. Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 11. Here, God made Israel separate from the other nations of the world. In verse 9, He forbade them to plant mixed seeds in their vineyards. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. In other words, you couldn't plant corn and beans in the same field. Now look at verse 10. Here He forbade them to use a mixed team when plowing the fields. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Why is that? Well, you know, the ox wants to go strong and slow, and the ass, he doesn't want to go at all. He wants to sit down a lot of times. So the Lord told them, don't use an ox and an ass together when you plow. When Lindy and I visited Israel, we saw an Arab farmer one day, and I took a picture of this because I could not believe my eyes. But I've got a picture to prove it. This Arab farmer was plowing with a team. First of all, he didn't have a tractor. He was plowing with a team. But he had an ox and an ass in that yoke together. I took a picture of that. I just couldn't believe it. That's what is forbidden here to Israel. And then in verse 11, God forbade them to use mixed types of cloth in making their garments. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. Hebrew males were required to be circumcised 8 days after birth as a mark of their separation from the pagan peoples around them and also as a mark of the fact that they belong to God. These and other things were constant reminders to the Israelites that they were a separated people. They were different. They were unique. Our text in 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." This is the command of God, that we separate from the world. It is His command to the church at Corinth, and to all Christians, come out from among them and be ye separate. This verse is an allusion to Isaiah 52:11 in the Old Testament. Let's turn back there to Isaiah and look at chapter 52 and verse 11, because Paul is alluding to this verse when he writes our text today. Isaiah 52, verse 11. In the Old Testament. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now Isaiah 52:11 speaks to Israelites, especially to the priests and Levites. But these words are properly applied by the Apostle Paul to believers in the New Testament age who are all made priests unto God. Now turn to Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. Revelation 18:4 probably also alludes to Isaiah 52:11. Revelation 18 and verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Now this verse has reference to what we sometimes call ecclesiastical Babylon. This is generally considered to be the ecumenical end-time religion headed up by the Roman Catholic Church. And it calls on God's people to get out of this religious monstrosity, to separate from it. Now, in the latter part of our text this morning, God's Word tells Christians to, quote, "touch not the unclean thing," unquote. Don't meddle with anything that belongs to the world. Ephesians 5:5-7 and verse 11 not only forbids participation in the deeds of darkness, but also tells us to expose them as well. Turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read 5 through 7, and then move down to verse 11. Ephesians 5:5. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Then look at verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." In 1 Peter 1:16, God says to Christians, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And part of what that word holy means is to be separated. Separated from the world and separated to God. Separated from common uses and separated to special uses for God. And so God's Word clearly and overwhelmingly requires this separation on the part of God's people. The second thing I want to do in this message is look at some areas in which separation is needed. Christians must be separate from the world in several important areas. First of all, Christians must be separate from the world in our conduct and way of life. We are to separate ourselves from the wicked conduct and practices of the people of this world. This means that our dress, our speech, and our values will be different from that of the world. When Pilgrim and Faithful came to Vanity Fair, they had on such clothing as was different from that of anything that was sold at the fair. The people at the fair stared at them. They said they were fools and demons and outlandish men because of the plain clothing they wore. Didn't have on the world's fashions, the world's immodest styles. The people of Vanity Fair were also amazed by the speech of these men. They couldn't understand what the pilgrims were talking about because the pilgrims spoke the language of Canaan instead of the land of Egypt or the world. The people at the fair were amused because the pilgrims thought so little of their wares. They didn't even want to look at those wares. And when the people of that city urged them to buy, the pilgrims would say with Psalm 119:37, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." Separated people dress like Christ's people. They talk like Christ's people. And they have the values of Christ's people. Today's worldly church members know nothing of this separation. A couple of months ago, while visiting in a certain church building, I picked up a magazine that they were giving away. And it was published by the Southern Baptist Sunday School Board. The name of the magazine was Collegiate Magazine. It was the fall 2011 edition. And on page 18, there was an article, "Pledging Faith, Finding Your Place in Greek Life." The subject of this article was whether a Christian should join a sorority at the university. Here are some quotes from this article. "Involving yourself in the Greek system can be a bold move for Christ." A young lady named Tracy Peek Sims was then quoted extensively as saying, "I knew God was telling me to stay in my sorority even when I wanted to quit. Being in a house has a wonderful way for me to grow, has been a wonderful way for me to grow closer to the Lord." And she said that she wanted her housemates to see through her life that Christianity is not about perfection. It's not about a condemning attitude, but about God's unconditional love and grace. My friends, if you know anything about college sororities and fraternities, you know that they are not about sobriety and sexual purity. They're not about those things. They are organizations that have the values of this world. And here was a denomination endorsing that kind of a lifestyle, a Christian remaining in it. Another area where separation is needed is in the area of our close relationships. And maybe we'll have a special sermon on this at some time in the near future. Things like our marriages and our businesses, our close relationships. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, we don't understand what a yoke is today. A yoke is one of those big pieces of wood that has four loops on it. You stick the head of the oxen or the ass in it, and you bind these two things together, these two animals together, and they're supposed to work together. To be yoked is to be bound together, to be teamed up to do some task. And the Scripture says here that Christians are to be separated in their close relationships. They are not to be unequally yoked or bound together with unbelievers. a third and closely related area in which Christian separation is needed is in our religion. Surprisingly, maybe. The spirit of this world pervades today's religion and churches. To be separate means separation from the world's religion in worship. Every ungodly practice of the world has been brought into our churches today. Haven't they? Wicked music, show business, clowns, dance, all kinds of fads. They've all been brought in to today's worship. Many churches in their worship now play the music of this fallen world. They have brought rock music right out of the world's honky-tonks and into their services. I recently attended a funeral at the First Baptist Church of Norman, Oklahoma. And there on the platform in their auditorium was the drum set. They have not separated from this world. They have brought the world into their worship. Christians are to separate from any joint spiritual effort with unbelievers. Now, we catch all kinds of flack for this. People hate us for this, for believing this. But we're to separate from any joint spiritual effort with unbelievers. We must not join in efforts to advance God's truth with any form of false religion. Even though the goal may be good, we must not yoke ourselves with false religion in order to reach it. We do not participate in citywide evangelistic campaigns because we are to be separate from the world's religion. After all, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? We say, well, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Billy Graham and others send their converts to the Catholic Church and other false churches. They say after a person, quote, makes a decision in their campaigns, they say, you go join the church of your choice. And if it's Catholic, that's fine. You go to the Catholic Church. Well, friends, Catholicism teaches the exact opposite from God's Word on the doctrines of salvation. And God's Word says salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. And the Catholic Church says salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. The sacraments, plus, all the things the church adds to that, salvation by works. We do not join the ecumenical movement or participate in Easter and Thanksgiving community services or join ministerial alliances because we are to be separate from the world's religion. It's not a matter of we think we're better than others. That's not the matter at all. That's not the issue. The issue is God commands us to be separate. It is an indisputable fact that most mainline denominations today are theological liberals who deny the inspiration of the Scriptures, who deny that salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing, and who deny that there is only one way of salvation, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Most denominations believe in those things today. 2 Timothy 3:5 warns us to turn away from those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. A church of Jesus Christ cannot worship, evangelize, or minister with those who pervert or reject the truth of God's Word. In religion, as in all areas, truth is more important than anything else. God's child must come out from among them and be separate. We must not have fellowship with false teachers or false doctrine on any level. The third thing I want us to consider in this message is the matter of separation and salvation. Now, most of the few sermons that I've heard on this topic ignore this aspect altogether. And after this study for this message, I believe this is probably the primary application of this passage. Separation and salvation. By nature, we all belong to this wicked world. We all belong to the city of destruction. We're born that way. The gospel call to sinners is to come out from among them. Come out from this wicked world of unbelievers, idolaters, unrighteous, fornicators, adulterers, etc. Come out from among them. To do so is to come out from your natural state. It is to renounce the world, to renounce sin, and to come to Christ by faith. And as long as you are among the world, you are an enemy of God, and God is an enemy to you. Now, what does this coming out from among them involve in relation to salvation? What does it involve? First of all, it involves a total separation from the world. A going over to the other side and becoming opposed to the world. That's what it means to come out from among them and be separate. And friend, you cannot leave your heart behind you when you come out. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back because she had left her heart in Sodom, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. This coming out involves not bringing anything with you when you come. A lot of people want to bring all their sins with them when they come out. You remember the story of Rachel. She took her father's idols when she came out of Syria. Remember that? Her husband didn't even know it. She couldn't let them go. She had to keep those idols. When you come out, you must let go of your lusts and idols and take hold of Christ instead. Thirdly, this coming out and being separate involves coming out forever. There's no returning to Egypt when Israel comes out. Oh, my sinner friend here today, come out and God will take you into His family. Come out and you will have God for your Father and you will be His sons and daughters, as we read in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 6. Every gospel message you hear is a call to come out from among them and be separate. One must make this holy separation to be saved. That's how important it is. But you say, well, I can't do that. That's right. Only the power of grace can bring your soul out like this. And I would refer you to Psalm 110 and verse 3, which says to God, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. In other words, God's people will be willing to come out when God exerts His Holy Spirit's power in them and enables them to come out. And so in conclusion, God's Word commands separation in Christians. Our text says, Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. My friends, there is no possible excuse for misunderstanding this command. Failure to heed this command is disobedience to God's Word. Thus, it is sin. We are to separate from the world. We are to be no longer a part of its sinful standards and practices. Our Savior Himself is our example. Hebrews 7:26 says this concerning Christ. For such an high priest became us, or was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Today's compromising Christians say that we cannot be influential and reach others by being separate. How many times have we heard that? You've got to get with the program. You've got to be up to date on the things that are going on in this world. You'll never influence people if you're not. I submit to you that on the contrary, it's only when we are separate, distinct, set apart, that we really become attractive and influential for Christ. If we talk, dress, act, and worship like the world, how can people tell that we're Christians, pray tell? The reason Christians today make no impression on this world is that there's no difference in Christians and the world around them. It is by failing to separate that we fail to attract others to Christ. Think about Lot. Lot lost his influence in Sodom. How? By becoming like the people of Sodom. And when one day he all of a sudden woke up and started trying to get his son-in-laws out of that city, they laughed at him. What are you talking about? You hypocrite! Today's worldly Christians sometimes tell their pastors, and I know people that have told their pastors this, "Preacher, you can preach on sin all day, just don't make such close application of it." And many are telling today's pastors that we need to quit making unbelievers who attend our services uncomfortable with all this talk about sin and separation. They say we need to have services in which unbelievers won't feel threatened. In fact, that's pretty much the Bible of the church growth movement today. These people would have us compromise in order to retain the friendship of this world. Turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 4. Down toward the end of the New Testament, Hebrews, and then James chapter 4 and verse 4. Here God's Word says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." According to God's Word, the goal of a church of Jesus Christ is not to make unbelievers feel comfortable and non-threatened. That's not our goal. Instead, it is to make them uncomfortable about their sins and threatened by God's judgment and hell that they face. And God never allows us to bend His laws in order to be popular or marketable. Christians need to realize that living a separated life won't make them popular persons. Don't expect the world to wish you well when you come out of it. Your very leaving is a rebuke to them. Don't expect them to wish you well when you come out. Christian separation actually enrages the world against the Christian. The world loves its own but hates the child of God. Look what the Lord Jesus says in John 15, 19. Turn to that fourth gospel. John chapter 15 and verse 19. This is what the Lord Jesus says about this subject to His people. "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." We shouldn't be surprised when the world hates us. The Lord Jesus says they will. Christian friend here today, since you have professed to become a Christian, have your habits changed? Do you still drink? Do you still smoke? Do you still tell and listen to dirty jokes? I'm just afraid to get forwards from some people on email. You know, my high school class, we've got somebody in that class that sends out these forwards, and I'm scared to open them up. They're all dirty jokes. Do you still go to the clubs and the beer joints? Do you still watch the filthy TV programs? And do you still wear the immodest styles and fashions of this world? People ought to be able to tell that you are a Christian when you go out to eat. You say, "Well, how can they do that, preacher?" If you give thanks for your meal.
they can tell you're a Christian.
They ought to be able to tell you're a Christian when you walk down the street. How can they do that? By the modesty of your clothing. They ought to be able to tell you're a Christian when you speak to others and when you do business and by what you do on the Lord's Day and by the church that you attend. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this great doctrine of Your Word. We're grateful that You have been so kind as to reveal to us the consequences of living the life of separation that You require. Father, we pray that You would strengthen Your people, all of us, to live the separated life. Father, we pray that we would become so concerned about our unsaved loved ones and friends that we would live what we profess, and that we would practice this matter of Christian separation. Never in a self-righteous or holier-than-thou attitude, but in obedience to Your Word and love for our friends and love for Christ. We pray, Father, for those here today who've never come out of this world and trusted in Jesus Christ. We pray from the bottoms of our hearts that today, by the working of Your Holy Spirit, they would repent of sin and trust in Jesus Christ and go to the celestial city with us. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen.